There's one thing that I have said in previous sermons. If it is one thing that unites every single one of us, one thing that unifies all of mankind, and that is pain, agony. Everyone has experienced or felt and walked through some type of pain. We've all experienced heartache, we've all experienced grief, and we have all experienced loss or despair. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you have experienced struggle. There's a reason why babies cry when they come out of a womb. Isn't this a brilliant way to start the sermon? Kind of heavy, isn't it? Okay. Sometimes the pain and the heartache last for a moment, days, weeks, months, or even years. But pain and heartache is a journey that we all walk through. We have all carried, each and every one of us. As many of you know, just a personal story, a few years ago, I walked through a certain occasion with my father. And he had kidney failure. And for 4 years, he was on dialysis, having it four times a day. And after 4 years, well, he decided that enough was enough. And he made this decision to stop his treatments in 2019. The doctors came around and said, well, we'll give you 2 weeks to live, which is pretty horrific. And during this time, it looked like this was exactly what was going to happen. His health declined very quickly. So during this time, I crashed on the floor just to help out around the house. And me and my sisters, we organized a funeral, which is a very strange situation to do if you ever do it with your parents still alive, organizing a funeral. But after 2 weeks, Dad, well, he started to get better. And after it looked like he was no longer going to die, well, I just went home, as you do. But then just after a year, the same thing happened again, the exact same thing. We were told that he had 2 weeks to live by the doctors, and once again, I crashed on their floor. So the same thing happened again. And during this time, there was one particular day that I'll never forget. My father was just lying on his bed, unable to open his eyes, talk, or even move. He couldn't do anything. And the only reason why I knew he was alive was because I could see his chest go up and down. So my mum, she lied next to her, cried and prayed. That's all she did the whole time. And I pretty much did the same thing because we thought, well, this was it. But then 2 hours later, Dad was sitting in his chair drinking a cup of tea. He tricked us all. But he just started getting better and he started getting stronger. And earlier this year, we celebrated his 80th birthday. And next year, Mum and Dad are having their 59th wedding anniversary, which is incredible. Now, I know this is a very heavy way to start the sermon, very heavy. But this is how King David starts the psalm, as you're going to learn from my two readers this morning, Libby and Ethan, come on up. So my psalm this morning is Psalm 22, and it's a very long psalm, so I have got two readers this morning. Ethan is going to start by reading the first half, and then Libby will finish by reading the second half.
Psalms 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer me. By night, I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises, and your ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am warned and not a man, scorned by everyone, displeased by people who see me, mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. let him deliver him, since you delight in him. Yet you put me out of that womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there was no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, opening their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death.
Dogs surrounded me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
Thank you very much. Now, Derek Kidner, he comments that reading the psalm is like walking on holy ground, because this psalm that David writes and sings describes in clear detail the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. But within this lies a problem that some scholars have debated as they argue, how does one read the psalm? Do you read it as a purely messianic psalm or a personal psalm? Let's have a brief look into this debate. And we'll start with a personal psalm. Tovia Singer, he is an Orthodox American rabbi, and he argues that this psalm has nothing to do with the crucifixion. But this psalm is all about David and what he personally went through. And this view is not just shared by himself, but it's shared by other scholars. Even the second one is a messianic psalm. There is no arguing that King David is the author of a psalm, but it is difficult to pinpoint a time in his life where he would need to write such a psalm. There was never a moment in which he was deserted by all his friends. But he always seemed to have someone around him to encourage and to help him through times of struggle. And plus, the intense struggle and the suffering that he described here is not that of a sick person or a soldier in battle, but it describes a criminal being executed. So these scholars suggest that psalm is a purely a prophetic psalm, looking forward to the cross. And this is a very, very common view that many, many scholars hold, which is the view, but there is another one as well. There is a third view. And this is the view that I want to base the sermon upon this morning. And that is the messianic or personal psalm. So messianic could also be prophetic as well, because it was looking forward to the cross. So it's messianic, prophetic, and personal. Now, although you can't identify with the psalm with any one event in David's life, we all know that from reading 1 and 2 Samuel, that David walked through some really incredibly hard times. From his battle with other countries, to his difficulties from King Saul, and then when he becomes homeless, and he loses his kingdom to his own son, Absalom. So David has had some incredible, horrible moments in this life. But this is not just a personal psalm, because it also describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. So this psalm is a mixture of both, mixture of messianic and personal. So throughout the psalm, I am going to intertwine a lot between King David and also Jesus Christ on the cross. Let's begin. Verse 1. And as I said before, King David here, he starts with a bit of a bang. With his gut-wrenching cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the opening verse, we are met with this picture of the king on his hands and his knees, crying out to God. And there are two things that this opening verse shows us or reveals to us. And firstly, that King David calls out, my God. This shows that King David knows God personally. He has a relationship with him. Sometimes people cry out to God only when they're in times of trouble or times of strife. But that's not what King David's doing here. He is calling out to a God he knows personally. And secondly, the sentence ends with a question. My God, why have you forsaken me? David feels like God has left him. He is possibly saying things like, Lord, I follow you with my whole heart, and I have dedicated myself to you. We know that David has a heart after God by reading 1 and 2 Samuel, which is why David is crying out, why God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? Why have you deserted me? And I don't know about you, but within this question, I can hear a bit of confusion. Why, God? Why has this happened? Looking down to verse 2. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. King David, he makes continuous prayers over and over again, but yet they go unanswered. So this morning, can you relate to King David? You pray, you walk closely with God, and in your head you're doing nothing wrong, but yet you feel utterly and totally forsaken. There are times where it is not the event that hurts, but it's that feeling of loneliness, that feeling that God has forsaken you, the feeling that God is not bringing anyone around you to help you in your time of need that hurts the most. There are times that we can take comfort in what God has done before, where he has delivered us, where he has helped us through a certain struggle. But there are also those moments in our life where knowing this, knowing what God has done, can cause a burden. We know that God has and can comfort us, but where is that comfort now? Where is that deliverance? Why has God not sent someone to help me? So knowing that God can help us can also cause heartache, a sense of loneliness, and a sense of feeling forsaken, which is what I think David is feeling in the psalm. But he knows God can help him, but where is that help now? Often we don't allow ourselves to ask these types of questions because it shows a lack of faith. That we are weak Christians, but that is not true. I found this quote on Facebook. I don't know who wrote it, but I liked it, so I put it up here. And it says that faith is having more questions than answers, because to have questions is a sign of faith, as it points toward openness and new possibilities, new understandings, and new perspectives. If life does not make sense, rather than walking away, it takes faith to ask questions. What is happening, Lord? Where are you at this moment? It takes more faith to ask these questions, but it doesn't take any faith to just walk away. Because you're not facing, but you're walking away from it. And remember, church, God will never, ever let you walk away from your situations forever. When asking these questions, you also need to be honest. Lord, I am not strong enough here. I think that this is going to be the end of me. You need to be honest. Tell God exactly how you feel and what is going on. After all, He already knows. He knows everything. But here David continues. Verse 6. I am a worm and not a man. This shows how insignificant King David felt. He is the king, all-powerful, the all-powerful king. And now he felt helpless, frail, and unwanted. And the psalm carries on. Verse 7, people mock me. He has become the laughingstock of his kingdom. He is being attacked and beaten on all sides. Is shown in verse 12 and 16. So this is a moment in King David's life where he is experiencing tremendous pain, multiplied by the fact that he is feeling abandoned by God. Now, if this pain is true of David, then it is all the more true of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's read Matthew 27, 46. Now, I'm not good at pronouncing all that, so I'm not even going to try. My God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in Jesus' life, he is feeling separated from his Father. So we need to ask the question, why? And the answer is found in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is something that Andrew touched on in his communion message. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us all, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, on that cross, as Andrew said, there is this transition that took place, where the Father placed upon the Son all of mankind's sin, past sin, future sin, and present sin. Because of that, God the Father had to remove his presence away from his Son. So as I have already said, for the first time in Jesus' life, he felt totally separated from his Father. David felt isolated, and yes, he did. And forsaken, but God removed his presence away from his Son. So to give us a sense of what this means and how it would have felt for Jesus, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. This scripture here is a picture of hell. Now, I don't know what hell is going to look like or feel like, But what we learn from Peter, or from Paul, is that hell is a place where the presence of God will not be felt. We know from reading the Bible that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, which means that he is going to be even in hell. But for some reason, his presence will not be felt there. And this is what our Messiah is experiencing. He is experiencing a little bit of hell. Life without the presence of God, where he has been completely removed from his Father's presence. Now, you can make of it whatever you want, but I just want to paint a picture of what our Savior would have gone through and the loneliness that he felt on the cross. But the psalm goes on. It explains in more details about the cross. Verse 3, he was enthroned. He was there at the creation of the universe. Verse 6, he was now a worm. He felt small and insignificant, cast out from society. Verse 7, while Jesus was going to and on the cross, he was mocked and insulted. Verse 15, my mouth is dry, which is addressed in Matthew 27:48. Verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. They placed nails in Jesus' hands and feet. Verse 17, my bones are on display. On the cross, none of Jesus' bones were broken. Yes, David went through some incredibly hard times. And much of a psalm can be a personal experience, but even more than that, this is a messianic psalm, a prophetic psalm pointing towards the cross, pointing towards the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is even more incredible when you consider that David wrote the psalm hundreds of years before crucifixions were even practiced. I was told 700 years. But let's move on. And we will now come back to King David and King David's life. Verse 19. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. This is a very similar verse to how David started the psalm. You see, David believed that he could endure anything if he enjoyed the conscious presence and help of God. His plea wasn't focused on changing his situation, and it wasn't, Lord, get me out of here, but it was, God, draw near to me. If you draw near to me, then I can endure anything. And this is where the psalm changes for the better. It goes from terror to triumph. I believe it is because he knows that God hasn't left him, that God hasn't forsaken him. And because of this, his confidence in Christ grows. Verse 20, deliver me from the sword. Verse 21, rescue me. He knows in his head and his heart that God is right beside him. His situation, it might take longer to sort out, but he has been delivered from the feeling of being forsaken. When you know in your head and your heart that God is right beside you, your attitude towards your circumstances changes. You are not trying in your own strength to be relieved from a situation, but you are trusting in God. Sometimes we might feel so hurt that we think that God has forsaken us. And that might be you today. But the truth is, God hasn't. And if you would just believe that in your head and your heart, then your confidence in Christ will grow. The peace that you have lost will grow and it will be perfected in Christ. Your circumstances will probably be exactly the same, but your attitude towards them will change. And if you keep reading throughout the rest of the psalm, it will be clear that David's attitude towards his situation changes because his confidence in Christ grows. Verse 22, I will praise you. Verse 23, I will honor you. Verse 25, I will fulfill my vows. Verse 28, Lord, you rule over the nations. You see, church, when you are delivered from the sense of feeling forsaken, which I'm sure we've all felt from time to time, your confidence in Christ will grow. And this will affect your circumstances because it will affect how you see what's happening around you. And if this is fulfilled in Christ, in David, then it is definitely fulfilled in Jesus. Let's turn back to verse 22. And I believe this is a key verse for this entire psalm. And David says, I will declare your name to my people. The word people here, it could be translated as brethren or people or brothers, depending on what Bible translation you're using. But if you flip over to Matthew 28:10, which is after his resurrection, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Those words, my people or brethren or brothers, as I said, depending on what translation you've got, is the once and only time in Scripture that Jesus refers to his disciples as brethren. And that is strategic. These people that he now calls people, his brethren, are going to be equipped by the Spirit, which is found in Acts 2, to spread the gospel. So Psalm 22:22 onwards is going to be the fulfillment through which his people spreads the gospel to all nations. And it is no coincidence that Matthew ends with the Great Commission, go and preach the gospel. Now let's look further into the psalm to see how it prophesies the future spreading of the gospel. Verse 22, Jesus' name is being declared. And it is being spread, and we all know that it has gone to the ends of the earth. Verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. Verse 28, he rules over all nations. Verse 29, those who cannot keep themselves alive, and that's all of us, every person. And then verse 30, future generations. Everyone who has gone before him or gone after him will hear the good news. It is clear that Psalms 22 is a clear prophecy of the spreading of his name in his presence throughout all the earth, which is exactly what has happened as his name has been spread right across the globe. But yes, this psalm is about that. It is about evangelism, the spreading of the gospel, and the crucifixion of Jesus. But I believe at the heart of a psalm is the truth that God will never ever leave us nor forsake us. His word has gone with us throughout all of the generations and it has covered right across the globe. He will never forsake you, which is the purpose of the cross, which is the purpose of his name being spread throughout all the earth. You might feel forsaken. You might question, why are you going through whatever it is that you are going through? And I can't answer any of that. But if you know in your head and your heart that God is with you, your attitude towards whatever it is you're going through will change. Can I have the band up, please? I just want to end with the very last four words of the psalm. Can I have the band up, please? Sorry. So the very last four words of the psalm, he has done it. And this echoes the very last mission that Jesus spoke on the cross after he completed his earthly mission, which is found in 19:30 of John. It has finished. Everything that Jesus set out to do, to accomplish, he has done it. If you call him Lord and Savior, then his life in you, his presence is perfected. And just this morning, as the band comes up and gather, I really felt that some people here just needed to be remembered that God is with you. You might feel forsaken through whatever it is you're going through, but God will never, ever leave you.